This week, close to 1,500 marine scientists and oceanographers are gathering at the Hawaii Convention Center. The Ocean Obs Conference, short for Ocean Observation, is held every 10 years, and this is the first time it's been held in the Pacific. We talked to Christopher Sabine, the interim associate dean of the School of Oceanography at the University of Hawaii at Manoa, about what's in store.
This is a meeting that we have every 10 years. We get all of the people that make measurements in the ocean, large-scale, global-type measurements in the ocean together to discuss what we're learning and strategize for what are we going to do over the next 10 years. And it started off, the first meeting was in 1999 in France, and it was primarily just people that are making physical measurements of the temperature and the salt content of the ocean. And that was such a success that 10 years later in 2009, when we met in Italy, we incorporated the chemists like myself that do chemical measurements in the ocean. Now we're hoping to include the biological community and really tie in those that make measurements in the coastal regions. This is a group that's measuring, making measurements globally. So they're measuring parameters all over the oceans. But yes, there are quite a few differences between the Atlantic and the Pacific. The Atlantic is warmer than the Pacific. It's more salty than the Pacific. And of course, the Pacific is significantly larger than the Atlantic. And one of the consequences, one of the unique aspects of this meeting is that the past two meetings being in Europe had more of an Atlantic focus to them just because most of the participants were from that local region. Now that we're in the Pacific, we've got a much larger contingent of people participating from Asia, from the Pacific Islands, from all around the Pacific Rim. So I think there'll be a more of a Pacific flavor, a Pacific focus for this particular workshop. The University of Hawaii and the School of Ocean Earth Science and Technology is very proud to be an active participant in contributing to this workshop and helping to organize it. And we do that because many of our researchers and scientists and professors do contribute to this overall observation program that we're discussing. So for example, there's the Hawaii Ocean Time Series where we take a ship out north of Oahu every month to go and make measurements throughout the water column. Those tie in very closely to the atmospheric observations that are made on Mauna Loa, have been since 1958, that have documented the rise in atmospheric CO2. We're doing the same thing, trying to document the increase in CO2 in the oceans as well as other parameters. The PACIUS, the Pacific Integrated Ocean Observing System, is housed at UH, and that's another program that's directly linked to this workshop where they make measurements of, for example, waves. So all the surfers out there, they're likely going and getting information from the PACIUS wave buoys to figure out whether the surf's up or not.
I love that website because they have all of Carl Meyer's shark tracking research on there, and that's just fascinating for anyone that's in the ocean. And then also, they've got this wonderful animation of where the water from the Alawai Canal, where it goes through Waikiki, you know, based on the currents. I mean, it's really eye-opening.
Exactly. That's been one of the premier projects that the university has been promoting here locally, is this Alawai, Smart Alawai study, where we're instrumenting the rivers that flow into the Alawai, monitoring what's happening in the Alawai, and then even offshore, looking at the impact that has on Waikiki Beach and the waters surrounding. And that really ties in nicely to a theme of the workshop, where historically the measurements we've made have been focused on the blue water, the open ocean measurements. But a lot of the connection that humans have to our oceans is in the coastal region, right? We go to the beach or we do our fishing pretty close to shore. So this workshop is really focusing on what measurements can we make in the coastal region, like understanding the Alawai outflow, to better understand the impacts that some of these global scale phenomena like climate change are having on our local economy and our local ecosystems and our local society. One of the key tenets of what we're doing is we're trying to document changes over decades, and you don't want to change what your approach to this, you know, willy-nilly every couple of years or whatever. So we have these meetings once a decade, and we plan out at these workshops. We spend a week going through what we've learned from the past decade and looking at where we want to go in the next decade. And it's kind of like a big ship, you know. You don't just turn it quickly. So we slowly evolve the measurements that we're making so that we can then tie all this together and know that the measurements we were making 20, 30 years ago, the Hawaii Ocean Time Series program is in its 30th year now. We want to know that what the measurements we made back in the 1990s are still relevant and can be directly compared to the measurements that we're making in the 2020s or the 2030s or the 2040s.
And so I know I've done stories on things like the Aloha Observatory. Mm-hmm. Could you explain to our listeners what that project does?
Right. So there's a time series site that's 100 kilometers north of Oahu where we take a ship out every month to measure a whole bunch of different things: the temperature, the salinity, the chemistry, the biology. And we can document over time. We've been doing this now for 30 years. We can document over time how the oceans are changing as the environment, as the climate changes, as CO2 increases. My particular area of study is looking at the uptake of fossil fuel CO2 into the ocean and the impact that's having on the organisms through something we call ocean acidification that's affecting the coral reefs. But it's also changing out in the open oceans. And through this station Aloha, we've been able to document those changes.
I've heard lots of stories about acid rain and how it affects things on the land. Your research then is in the ocean and on the organisms.
Right. So acid rain predominantly came from sulfur that was in coal. So when you had coal power plants, it releases sulfur into the atmosphere. The sulfur reacts with the water to form sulfuric acid that rains down and obviously is bad for the plants. But sulfur gases have a very short lifetime in the history, in the atmosphere. So those gases really only affected the area just downwind of the power plants. Carbon dioxide, on the other hand, it's also an acid gas. CO2 reacts with water to form carbonic acid. But CO2 is a very long-lived. It stays in the atmosphere for thousands of years. So CO2 that's emitted in the Midwest or in Russia or in China or Europe ends up circulating around the entire Earth, and it affects us here in Hawaii as well as all around the globe. So it's a little bit different from the acid rain and requires these global type measurements like we'll be discussing at this workshop. You can't just measure it just downstream of the power plant. The oceans are very remote, so it's expensive to get out and make these measurements. So we're looking at ways that we can improve our technologies to make these observations. What new observations might we want to make? How can we perhaps make them using autonomous vehicles? So, for example, there's some new technologies coming online with, a remote sailboat that we can instrument with a bunch of different sensors, and we can have it sail around the oceans for a year at a time, collecting measurements and sending them back via satellite. That's much safer than sending people out to sea where they could, you know, get in trouble. And it allows us to sample in storms and things that we wouldn't normally want to sample in if we had people on board ships. And it's less expensive because it's a sail-powered drone that, you know, doesn't require, we don't have to pay it a salary. It just goes. One thing I did want to highlight is, so as part of this workshop we do every 10 years, we're putting out a conference statement. And in this statement, which I think is particularly important this around this time, is that we are promoting and trying to highlight the importance of ocean observations and collecting data on the oceans. You know, there's a trend now to devalue the importance of science, and we really want to promote and re-emphasize the importance of actually backing up science and our predictions with real observations. So we have a conference statement just reiterating the importance of the scientific measurements we're making. And you can go on to the conference website, which is oceanobs19.net, and take a look at that conference statement and provide input on that or endorse it or at least get an understanding of where we're coming from as a scientific community in a world that's perhaps looking at alternative facts and not valuing science so much. We want to try and highlight that.
Is this the first time you folks have had this statement?
We've had statements in the past in our previous meetings, but this one really is, I think, more important because we are highlighting, in particular, the value of scientific observations as opposed to focusing more on the which observations we're making. This one really is focused a little more on the broader audience and trying to convey that message as a group of 1,400 scientists. And we've got input from scientists from 63 different countries. And there's also a whole group of community white papers that were written from this. So we're actually getting input from many, many thousands, as much as 10,000 scientists from around the world that are contributing to this effort, even if they're not coming to Hawaii this week.
Okay, so solid data and scientists standing behind it.
Absolutely.
All right, well, thank you so much.
It's my pleasure. Thank you.
That was Christopher Sabine, Interim Associate Dean of the School of Oceanography at UH Manoa. He previously worked in Seattle and also worked as a researcher with NOAA, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration.